Well, my topic that I've been assigned is no immorality. Did God say no immorality? Well, let's take our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And we'll start in the first verse there of Ephesians chapter 5. It says, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." But notice verse 3, "But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you as is proper among saints." And so, who are saints? Saints are holy ones, those who have been separated by God, separated from the world, to live separate and different, holy from the world. That's us. It should be us. And so for us this morning, for the Lord's church, there's not to be any immorality, impurity, or greed. My topic is immorality. And it says there that it should not even be named among you. There's not to be, I believe the NIV says, not even a hint of immorality. So that's not even to be among us as a collectively as a church, but also individually, each one of us, as we comprise the church, there's to be no immorality in any of our lives. Now, that word there for immorality, the Greek word is pornea, and that's where you get the word pornography there, and it means, they'll give you the definition, it's illicit sexual intercourse. So, bad sexual intercourse. Well, what is that? Well, it's any sexual activity outside of God's design. God has a good design, and what is that design? One man, one woman, and they're married, you get married, you stay married, you're married for life. And that's God's design, that's a good design. Anything outside of that falls under immorality. It's a very broad, all-encompassing word here as it's used throughout the Bible. And it includes adultery, fornication, homosexuality, lesbianism, intercourse with animals, etc. Well, you think about those, that definition, it gets pretty perverted, doesn't it? But do we live in a perverted world? And has the world been perverted ever since the beginning? Sure it has. I just saw a headline. I didn't click on the story, but it said a guy, I think in Japan, he spent $14,000 to try to turn himself into a collie, a dog. So people have all sorts of weird ideas out there. And in our day and age, everything is okay. Whatever you want, you can do it. Well, God says with his people, there's to be no immorality. And so the attitude of the world, well, let's keep reading in verse 4. Continue on there. It says, "There must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." But notice verse 6, it says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words." So are people going to come along and try to talk us out of the stand that God expects us to take? And are they going to sound good? And are they going to have all sorts of reasoning? And they're going to have a lot of words. But what are those words? They're empty words. "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." So what is the attitude of the world when it comes to the immoral lifestyle? What is their attitude? Well, it's fun. It's exciting. You know, everybody's doing it. It's just normal, right? That's what people say. It's you live however you want to live. You can live immoral. And it's glorified even in our popular culture through the music that comes out, popular music, the movies, The entertainment industry glorifies the immoral lifestyle. If you stand up for purity, what are they going to do? They're going to mock you. They're going to say, oh, you're a loser, or you're old-fashioned, or whatever name they'll come up with. But, oh, you're behind the times. You know, this is just the way it is nowadays. But I think of, we won't turn over there, but it says in 1 Peter that the time already passed is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. Those are things that we used to do. But it says, in all of this, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excesses of dissipation. And what do? They malign you. So if you stand for what God says, are people going to give you a hard time? Sure. Don't let it bother you. You just do what's right. You just stand up for what God says. But I look out at the world, and I think about the consequences, and they're terrible consequences of the immoral lifestyle. You take adultery, and husband, wife, and here's a husband cheating on his wife, and here's the wife. She gave herself to him, and here she is. She gives her life. She's devoted to him. She's trying to raise their children and take care of the family, and she's cooking and cleaning and running the kids around, and she's devoted to that family. And here's the husband stepping out and having an affair with another woman. He's throwing away, a good life for the empty air and fluff of the devil. I think how sad. And you could vice versa. Here's a wife, and she's cheating on her husband, and the husband here, maybe he's working hard and he loves his wife and trying to provide for her and the children, and here she walks out on him for another man. And you think about all those emotions within the family when that stuff comes to light, and if there's children involved, and what a terrible sin adultery is. And then fornication, that doesn't involve marriage, but many, especially young people, but not just young people, but today, it used to be, they're living together, they called it shacking up, right, as the older term, and now it's just, they live together, or they're sleeping around, or hooking up, or whatever euphemism, or whatever term they want to use to soften it up. But here they are in sexual immorality. No marriage involved, just going from one person to the next. According to the CDC, that's a disgusting lifestyle, but it's a prevalent lifestyle. But according to the CDC, 1 in 5 people have a sexually transmitted disease out there. Have you ever seen they put the signs up there where it says, you can come over to the health department or whatever, and you can get tested for if you have these diseases. Well, I don't know if that shocks us in the Lord's church. Hopefully it kind of does, that we're not involved anyway in that. But that's the norm in our world today. And if you go out and try to talk to people and bring them into the Lord, that a lot of times they're in messes involving these things that have to be dealt with and unraveled. But that's what we have to deal with. And I think about that, just the young people, and what does that do to the mind and the emotions of people in the lifestyle of fornication when you have a partner, you're sleeping with somebody, and then you go on to the next one, you go on to the next one, and so forth. They don't understand that sexual relationship is not just a physical act. They try to relegate it just to the physical act. But see, you can't bypass how God created that. And God created it more than just the physical act. And so people are hopping around all over the place, different partners. And every time they're going from one to another, they're leaving a part of themselves with the person they were with. And so, the more you get into that lifestyle, the more that damages your mind. And so you see it as people get older, you see women and they hate men. I mean, men are terrible. They have nothing good to say about men. And even if they maybe get married, they have a hard time trusting their husband. Same thing with men. They have a terrible time with women, the way they regard them, because their people are so messed up in their relationships with one another. So you see why God says no immorality. And by the way, people who are not married, when they get married, 70% of the time they've already lived with each other before they got married. And that's the ones that do get married, 70%, let alone a lot of people never even get married today. So we see what we have out in the world. And in verse 6 and 7 there, you know, apart from all of these consequences that we have, and I am going to mention before we quit, that God can forgive this. He will forgive it if we'll repent. But aside from all these physical consequences, in verses 6 and 7 it says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them." God says the immoral person has no part in his kingdom. You don't have a place in the kingdom of God. You will not be in heaven if you live the life of immorality. Revelation 21:8, the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, or the immoral persons, sorcerers, idolaters, their place will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You can't get away from that. And I think about that, just this one sin alone, when you talk about 70% of people that do get married have lived in that sin, that covers a lot of the world, just this one sin alone, that will not be in heaven unless you repent. Now, God wants to help us guard against immorality. And so immorality, it's a physical act. It's a sin against God. But what determines our actions? What's going to determine how we act? Our thinking, right? What's in our heart? What we put within us? Now let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Jesus, I like how Christ taught, because the people of his day, they were very good at the actions, at least the religious leaders. They put on a good front, but their thinking, their hearts were rotten. And so Jesus got to the literal heart of the matter. He talked about what was in the heart of man. And he said, what's in our hearts, really, in God's eyes, matters just as much as the physical act. Yes, the physical act is where it's where it happens, but God says, you cut it out, you stop it, before it gets out, before it goes that far. And in Matthew chapter 5 and we'll start in verse 27. "You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery." I believe that was the sixth commandment, I think, in the Ten Commandments. So that was in the Ten Commandments, "You shall not commit adultery. But I say to you," and Jesus didn't take that commandment away, but he says, "I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Now, did God make men and women attractive to one another? Yeah, he did. He made women attractive to men. And he didn't say if you happen to see a woman, that you look at a woman, you've sinned. But he said, the man, that everyone who looks at a woman with lust, that's with intent, with evil desire, thinking about the evil act, looks at a woman with lust for her, he says, has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And he continues on, he says, if your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you, for it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. Was Jesus concerned about the heart of man and what's within us? And obviously he uses that example there. If your eye makes you stumble, tear it out. And if your hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. But we apply that. There's things, if they make us stumble in this area, you'd be better off to get rid of them than to keep it and stumble. Because hell isn't worth anything. If it's your phone, if it's your computer, you fill in the blank, whatever it is, it's not worth it, is it? It's not worth it. That's what Jesus was teaching here. I like what Job, he said, I made a covenant with my eyes. How then could I gaze at a virgin? He was thinking about his thoughts, what goes on inside the mind. And that's what we heard last night. We can even dress good. We can look appropriate. We can look very righteous. It's amazing. If you're in the Lord's church very long, you find out people can look very good, and what's going on at home and what they're doing in secret is completely different. See, I don't know. I'm just a man. I don't know what's going on in you. You don't know what's going on inside of me, but I want to tell you what, God knows every one of us through and through here this morning. And he loves us. He wants us to live righteously, to get out of it. If we're having a problem, get out of it. And so let's go to Mark chapter 7 also. Mark chapter 7 and verse 20. Mark 7 and verse 20. And he was saying, that which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these things, all these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. I read this list of sins and things that Christ said are within, and then they come out and defile the man. And you see fornications and immoralities there, or adulteries in that list. But also, he mentioned sensuality there. And let me give you kind of an analogy here. So for those of you who like cars, you know, if you're looking at a sports car especially, they have the specifications, the specs of that car, you know, the engine size and the horsepower. And one of the specs they give is how fast it can go from 0 to 60. And I don't know, what's a fast car go from 0 to 60? 3 seconds? I don't know. Pretty fast, but 3 point something or 4 or whatever. And so that's how fast it goes from 0 to 60. So people are interested in that. You know, how fast is this car? But you know, people aren't too interested. How fast does it go from 0 to 30? Okay? So, but somewhere in between there, between 0 and 60, you've got 20 miles per hour, you've got 30 miles per hour. You have to get past all of that to hit 60, right? And so we would all agree, immorality, we talked about immorality, that's wrong. I mean, clearly the Bible says it condemns it. And over here we have purity, that's what we want. Absolute purity. Over here we have the immoral act, okay? But between being pure, where God wants us over here, and immorality over here, 0 and 60, so to speak, you have in between And the precursor, when you're talking 20, 30, 40 miles per hour, before you get over here to 60, you've got what the Bible says is sensuality. Okay? And sensuality, basically, it's a very broad word, and it basically means living for the senses. Basically, whatever feels good to you, you do it. Okay? And so it includes the indecent bodily movements or the unchaste or impure handling of males and females. Before you ever get to the sexual immorality, you have a precursor that God also condemned here. And your translation, mine says sensuality, yours it may say debauchery or lasciviousness or lewdness or lustful pleasures. They use a different English terms there. So it's different words in our different translations, but I use sensuality in the New American Standard. But before you ever get over here, God condemns the things which lead to the immorality. And that's what we need to be concerned with. Because Satan is scheming, and Paul said that no advantage would be taken of you by Satan. He says, we are not ignorant of his schemes. Well, we say, well, we don't want any immorality, but sometimes we can be ignorant of those things which may lead to immorality. The sensuality. And I'll just ask you, should God's people be concerned about sensuality since it leads to immorality? And if we're concerned, shouldn't we draw some lines? That's what Don was talking about with children. We're going to set some boundaries. We're going to set some lines so that we don't cross those and end up going too far and saying, well, how did I get over here? We're going to have to make a conscientious effort that no immorality would even be named among us. Not even a hint. So we're going to draw some lines. We're going to say, well, we're not going to do these things. Or on the other hand, we are going to do these things. That's what Joshua said. As for me and my house, what? We will serve the Lord. Now, we can say that as a church, but more importantly, it ought to be up to us as men in the homes, with the wife supporting it, parents, and even in grandparents, to say this is how our family is going to live. We can't change everybody else. You can decide how you're going to live. Daniel, he had three friends, and when they were taken into Babylon, there were other young people taken too. But Daniel made up his mind that he was not going to be defiled by the king's food. And his friends did too. I'm sure there were other young people that didn't feel the same way. You can make up your mind in your family how you're going to go. I think about even at camp, we have a line. And that is, we go swimming. We don't have swimming where men are going to swim with the women. That's a good line. That's right. Our culture doesn't see anything wrong with that. But, you know, you think about King David. Where did all of his problems start? He saw a woman. What was she doing? She was bathing, right? You go to the public pool. Well, there's even a term. What are they doing, some of the women? They're sunbathing, right? There's more that is shown than is covered at the pool. We can make a line and say, we're not going to be swimming together at the public pool. We're not going to do that, right? We ought to. I mean, Paul said, I speak as the wise men, you judge what I say. I mean, we're not stupid. We know, especially when you get young people together and they're no clothes on, hardly any clothes. What goes into the mind? Not good. So we can make a line there. In our culture, that word sensuality, it means indecent bodily movements. In our culture, the dance is very prevalent. In our culture. Well, I'm not going to have anything to do with that. We even have shows. I don't know if it's still a show, but Dancing with the Stars was a TV show, and they even did a a little fundraiser or competition, something even where we're from in the town there, where people get together and they're not married, and they're going to hold one another and dance with one another and have this wonderful competition, you know. Well, you want, for you husbands, do you want some guy dancing with your wife? Or you wives, you want some other guy dancing with your husband, holding her and have his hands all over her? I don't. Right? We're not going to have anything to do with that, are we? We're going to set a line there. That's, in a sense, you could say that's not immorality. There hasn't been an act committed, but it is sensuality. Parents, and Don mentioned about raising children, but parents should draw some lines for what their children do. You know, your kids grow up and they get out of the house, they're going to make their own decisions. You're not going to control them when they're old enough to make their decisions. But when they're in your house, you can set the terms and make the decisions for them. And I think about the prom. Is there anything wrong with young people getting together? Again, they're dressed, or rather they're not dressed, right? And here they are, they get together, and they're dancing together. And I mean, I've seen pictures of them, and here's the young guy, and he's got his arm around the girl, you know, down here, and all sorts of stuff. And that's just the pictures that you see, let alone what goes on that you don't see. That's not appropriate. We can say we're not going to have anything to do with that. There's a lot of things, activities, and fun that Christian young people can have and stay away from the quote-unquote fun of the world. But we can set that line. And of course, as the kids get older, we can tell them, show them, explain to them, and even activities. I think about... Let me check my time here. I don't have much more time. But, you know, kids, there's all sorts of activities and things they get into, and a lot of that's okay. But I think about especially little girls, and there's a lot of things that I think little girls should not do. And that would include the competing in dance or cheerleading, or the beauty pageants, or gymnastics, or ballet. Why do I say that? Because the participation in every one of those things includes, among other things, wearing very immodest, revealing, I would even say sexualized clothing, even starting at a very young age. And you know, and a parent says, well, you know, what's the harm in my little 2, 3, 4 year old, my little princess doing these things? That's what all parents think, their kids are wonderful, you know, cute little princesses. I got two little girls. I know what that's like. What's the harm in that? Well, the thing is, in the blink of an eye, your little 2, 3, 4 year old is now a 13, 14, 17 year old, and if you can't tell them no, or if you can't set any lines when they're little, I can guarantee you, you're not going to be setting anything when they're older. And I look at the way, again, I speak as to wise men. You know the way people, or these even young women, are dressed in these activities. Aren't we smart enough that we can figure out something better for them to do? Sure. Well, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. I'm just about out of time here. I want to mention a couple more things. 1 Timothy chapter 5, and even we sometimes go to even high school football or basketball games, and you know, even those young girls dancing around in the music they play is very, very sexualized, very objectifying. And I think, man, you know, that's... it's perverted what people enjoy. See, we're to be different. God says we're to be different. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart. There's not to be a thin line between us and the world. There's to be a big line, a big divide. All right. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1 says, do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father, to the younger men as brothers, the older women as mothers and the younger women as sisters in what? All purity. Paul told Timothy, a younger man, you treat the women with purity. We're to treat one another with purity. We're not to be hanging all over one another, hugging all over one another. We're to have some, we're to be above board and to treat one another with respect and purity. And let me just mention the last thing, just tell you. But thank God for his forgiveness of the immoral lifestyle, too. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9 through 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." But I love verse 11. He says, you can't be in these things. You can't go to heaven. But verse 11 says, "Such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God." And so Psalm says, "You, Lord, are good, ready to forgive, abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you." See, we can come out of the world and God will forgive. He'll wash those sins away if we repent. And no matter how far down we went, God will forgive you if you want to get out of that. So what a blessing that we have that hope to clean up our lives and to live pure and clean for the Lord. So, and I hope that's what we all want here today. Thank you for your good attention, and I'll turn it over to GJ.